I like looking at this growing season. I look back to last fall. We had a beautiful fall, especially when you compare it to the couple previous harvest seasons before that. Do you think that fall season kind of changes the mindset for growers as they go into this 21 spring season?
Yeah, I sure do. And I think, you know, when I look at, and of course we farm a bit on our own in Caroline Calhoun County, and I look at just coming off of the summer, Don, and, you know, commodity prices were the lowest during the season when you want to spoon feed your crop and think about all the different things you can to optimize that acre. And then just the rally that happened in the commodity side, but also getting work done, to your point. We've had two in the last 30 seasons of reduced planted acres and bad falls. And, you know, as an ag community, when we don't get our work done, it builds anxiety, and it builds anxiety because we want to, you know, serve our customer, right, who plants 500 to 700 acres a day. And we got to stay ahead of that from the channel. So, yeah, I think attitudes are really good right now. But still a lot of work to do, Don. Still a lot of work.
So from a crop input side, seed side, how are sales shaping up as we go into this spring?
You know, really well. A couple of things that I think are going to help us from the outside. First of all, the commodity prices, you know, with the insurance prices coming out after February, there's obviously a big difference year over year. And when that farmer producer has the ability to optimize or stretch that acre, they'll invest in it. And there's all kinds of technology, right, with seed treatments and fungicides and pre's, where it's interesting, when you look back the last couple of years, the farmer was doing exactly what most farmers in a lot of cases do, is they were saying, hey, how do I maybe put a Band-Aid here or a shortcut there? And I think the market research comes back and says, you know that hurt them, Don. And there's not a surprise why the average yield, the ratio, and those things came down. But we also didn't invest in the crop the last couple of years like we've done before to get record yield. So I think attitudes are good from that standpoint. I think if we get an early spring, which it looks like a lot of indicators that we will, we'll get more acres planted in the ground. And of course, probably the third thing is we've reduced inventories the last couple of years because people have worked on their balance sheets. Supply is going to be a juggernaut. And if we plant 183 million acres, I don't think we'll see supply constraints. We'll see supply constraints that'll be much tighter than the last couple of 3 years, Don.
On the input side, or are you, what do you?
On the input side, for sure, on crop nutrients, because to your point, you know, we swept the corners of the warehouses on crop nutrients with a good fall. But also, we just never planted over 183 million acres of corn and soybeans. And so I think seed will be good, but I think certain seed varieties will be tight. And for sure, I think crop protection will be tight. Because of the tariffs, we've not had as many products come from China in those areas. And just people have been very cautious about working capital and running less inventory through their barns. So overall, I think the planning, those that plan and think about how fast this crop goes in the ground is going to pay huge dividends going into the 2021 spring season, Don.
You mentioned China. I'm curious. I was at a meeting a week and a half ago, and a rep was talking about things being in short supply. Folks can't find, you can't source cardboard because everybody's getting things shipped in with COVID. Some of the plastics were in short supply. Are you finding some of those kind of issues that we probably wouldn't normally think about in agriculture?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, not only is it short supply, the costs have gone up. Well, I mean, nerds, the costs have gone up on just pallets. You know, everything comes on a pallet, to your point on wood. But the ports, you know, are jammed up. We do a lot of over the road, right? Trucking. And if you look at the DOT compliance and the Amazon boom and COVID, our spot freight is up. You know, in some cases, two or three times what it was a year ago. So all of those things could add to that bottleneck that you're talking about. And it's just, it's one of those pieces that I shouldn't say it snuck up on us, but we've had 3 or 4 years where we've had plenty of supply in kind of a boring environment, right? This isn't boring. This is where supply chain costs can creep on you. This is where you can increase your customer experience if you're planning ahead. There's a lot of opportunity right now out there, but you have to be on top of the game, to your point.
So is that crop nutrient, is that in the country and we just need to get it up from the Gulf, or what's the logistics we're dealing with there?
You know, some of it is the tariffs that you saw a little bit with Russia and the Maraca business that has happened. Some of it has been from China. They've cut back or have allocated their resources to their home from an energy standpoint. But probably the biggest thing is, Don, just the pure amount of phosphates and potash that got on this fall, because we kind of went two seasons without, you know, getting the amount. We've had an open season, the price was right, and so we just really drove down inventories. I think we're pretty good for phosphates and potash through the spring. I think what we got to watch is nitrogen, particularly anhydrous, in season, side dressing, and those things could make it tough. There'll be some supply constraints there, no doubt.
You talked about investing in this crop. Do you think it's spending more on things like fungicides, biologicals, some of those kind of areas?
Yeah, you know, here's what I would tell you. I think the grower today is so much more educated and knows what's going on with their farm with digital and technology. I think what they'll do is prioritize. I think they'll say, okay, you know, outside of water, what is the next most best return on input, which would probably be nitrogen, right? And then fungicide, to your point, and then seed treatments. But I think they'll go back to what I would say of really looking at how do you stretch that acre, whether it's a high productive, medium productive, or low productive acre, and wrapping a program around that. So we're fortunate, Don, with our answer plot system that it gives us the opportunity to have statistical data, not just from a year, but a decade, a plus. But we're also looking at some new technology with on the farm with our retail owners and their farmers, what we're calling innovation trials. And then of course we got under the roof with River Falls. So we take all three of those data points and say, what is the best return? We call it the agronomics of economics. The agronomics and economics now have to be bolted together in this environment, even more so when things were tough. Now we wanna make sure that we optimize it even more. And we never take anything for granted. So those types of tools are available to us today, and I think we'll really see a high adoption of those tools more than we have the last couple of years.
You mentioned digital. It's been a very different year. We've seen a huge adoption of technology tools here. Just Zoom calls like we're on here is an example. How's that translate into the Winfield United business?
Yeah, a couple, three areas. So number one, I would say the fundamentals of having eyeballs on the business from a supply chain standpoint. We call it business efficiency, and making sure that we understand where inventories are, making sure we know where transfers are, whether it's seed, just the fundamentals. But there are so much technology now available that, you know, we can be so much more efficient as a system. That's number one. Number two has to do with what we would call sales activation and utilizing artificial intelligence to really target in on that message for that particular retailer with their grower. So we're more efficient with their time. You mentioned COVID. You know, I think my brother-in-law's, when they talk about the amount of people that call on them, when people call on them, they want to come with a message and an approach that fits that farm. And now, because of the layers and stacked data, that retail seller can do so much better of customizing that offer to that particular grower and set themselves apart. So we're helping our retail network do that. Obviously, they take the front and center approach with the farmer. But we want to be in the background helping them with this data. And we have what we call the data silo to help that retail seller show up differently and really be a value to that grower. And then the third one is around decision ag. And as you know, with our R7 tools, Don, we've always led in that particular area. But what we're really forcing ourselves to do is to focus in not on the tool itself, but the features of that tool that helps that retail seller and that grower make decisions, specific actions around should I spoon feed that crop with a fungicide, or even back up a little bit, what is the right hybrid? You know, we are the largest retail seed network on the globe, Winfield United and our retail owners. And basically what we did is we took the data that we have in our answer plots and organized it in a way that we could very effectively and efficiently put the right product at the right place at the right time. And we built a seed business that way. Well, we're doing the same thing now with fungicides, the same thing now with foliar feeds, and about to do the same thing, Don, in this carbon market. We will use digital to help us understand this carbon market even more. So it's the shot in the arm. We've always led with data and digital, but now with what's happening in the carbon market, it even gives us another platform to build a new market on for our retailers and their growers.
I think I'm still scratching my head trying to get my arms around the carbon market. I'm guessing a lot of growers are in that same boat. What opportunity do you see that being at the grower level?
Well, Don, us too. We'll say we're going to fall forward, right? We're going to lean into it and fall forward, not backwards. But the reason that we love this carbon market is for a couple of things. Number one, it's for the greater good, right? And we talk about zero emissions. And the second thing is we're using a scientific method. You may have heard of the TruTerra approach, where we have the insights engine. But it's a combination of a lot of different pieces of our playbook. We have the insight engine, which helps us track the variables that help actually put together a carbon credit. But then we have the soil testing labs. We have the field forecasting and field monitoring digital tools. We actually have an offer that we're putting together called Impact NUE, which gives us an opportunity to track and measure or build a feeder program for that grower's future carbon markets. And I tell you, we don't have it all figured out, but we are being very scientific. We're utilizing our response to scores, to hybrids, to look at nitrogen efficiency. And we're looking at this from the standpoint of both looking back, like we talk about with removal type credits, Don, where we're talking about cover crop in no-till, but we're also looking forward and we're talking about reduction, particularly around nitrous oxide and how do we help that grower maximize the use of nitrogen. So, you said it and we would agree 100%. We don't have it figured out, but we're working with a lot of large nutrient companies, a lot of crop protection and seed companies, and a lot of companies like Microsoft are coming to us saying, hey, you know, we want to be part of this. And when we're part of it, we want to be part of an organization like Land O'Lakes, Winfield United, that's farmer and retailer owned and is very much data driven, because this has to be credible. Some are just talking PR. It all has to be at the end good for the farmer, and it has to be credible. So we're excited about it. I don't know for a chapter one, but it's early on in this book, and we want to be market leaders, Don, in this space.
I want to go back to what you said earlier about the largest retail seed network. We're blessed in our region where we can grow a lot of crops, corn, soybeans, wheat, a lot of specialty crops, canola, list goes on. You have any, when you take a look at that seed network that you've got, what kind of year it's going to be, where are those acres going to go?
We call it the tug of war acres, Don. Mm-hmm. You hit right on it. And, you know, I think if it's an early spring, our grower friends will plant more corn than what we thought. Because they like planting corn. But I also don't count out the cotton acres and the wheat acres. You know, if you look at every one of those balance sheets for those crops, they're tight. And so it's like whack-a-mole, you know, you pull one and the other one pops up. So I do think we'll plant more corn because I think we'll have an early spring. And but, you know, will it be 2 or 3 million more than what they're forecasting? I don't know. But to me, I'd lean on the corn side, Don.